Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Asking those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their mind and in their hearts, but deep in their souls, O God, that place where only you and they go. Help us to understand this morning. You didn't invent this world. You didn't create this world just to blow it up. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so what I'm about to read to you, you'll notice on that back sheet, it says it's the roof. And the reason that we made it the roof, you know, because obviously those of you who are mechanically inclined or understand architecture, you need a foundation, right? I mean, before you can have a roof, you got to have a foundation. You got to have posts and pillars that you can put the roof on. But you know what we were thinking about when we did this years ago, what we were actually thinking about is, where do we run for cover? Where do we go as Christians when the whole world is closing in on us? Where do we look to be held and hear the words, you're okay, you're okay? Well, you know, there's two places. And I will, I'll read these to you. I'll give you a little exegetical work around these and why we pick those. Because some people, if you're really smart, are going to go, Pastor, you don't think John is a gospel, so why do we have John as the roof? Well, you'll find that out today. Amen? Amen. Here we go. All right, so John 3:16-17. And I love this because it was the vicar originally when we were having this conversation. We were just going to do John 3:16. And the vicar said, oh, no. You got to go the next sentence. Because it explains why John 3:16 is so important. Okay, so here we go. John 3:16. This is how much God loved the world. God gave God's only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed by believing in him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God did not go to all the trouble of sending God's Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. The Son came to help, to put the world right again. Amen. That's why verse 17 is really important. Why did God bother to do this? Well, I tell you how this gets preached. You've all heard this. You know, we preach this and it's like, okay, when we hear this, this is where we got to fall down on our knees, you know, and grovel. Oh, I believe in Jesus. This is where Benny Hinn starts flapping his coat at people and they fall over because they've been slain in the spirit. And it's because of just the way they emphasize this verse. And they emphasize it in the way that I was telling you that my grandmother talked to me when I was a kid. If you don't change your ways, you're going to go to hell. Well, hey, you know what? They might be partially right, but it isn't about the fact that you are a bad person. Because that's where this conversation starts, does it not? This is where it starts. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. Oh my God, you're late for church. You are a sinner. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you just love walking in late? Especially in a small crowd like this, so the pastor can just focus on you. All right? And the pastor is mean. So everybody is a sinner. That's where the conversation starts out. I want to give you this scripture in a little different light. If we had a fire outside in the middle of the parking lot and somebody said to you, because it's warm, it's cold out there, right? And somebody said to you, don't get too close to the fire. Because it may be warm, but if you get too close, you're going to catch on fire. Amen? And you sit there and you do like some of us want to do. You know better than anything that's ever being told to you. So you get really close to the fire. And the next thing you know, you're on fire. Your jeans catch, your skirt catches, and now somebody throws you to the ground, breaks your arm, and pats you out. But in the meantime, you have burned flesh. And you're going to live with that the rest of your life. You're going to live with that the rest of your life. The scar tissue, the pain. You know, there are people that we have in this world today that have been severely burned. And they're very hard to look at because of the scarring. It isn't about the ugly. I don't know what you see. I know there are some people that see ugly, and I see nothing but pain. Because once those nerves are damaged, it's awful. But here's the deal. Was that person a bad person who stepped too close to the fire? No. They were just simply being warned about the world that they live in. This passage is the same thing. That's why John goes out of his way to say, look, God wasn't sending this to condemn the world. But within the creative process, people can get hurt. People are going to make choices that pull them away from me. So I am going to give you something that can bring you back. Amen? Do you understand that? That is not about us being bad. This is not a salvation, fall on your knees, roll on the ground, hold a snake, and say that you love Jesus. This is about being taught what our relationship with God is all about. And now to answer that question, for people who say, because I think that the Gospel of John, it's not a gospel in the way that we understand gospel. Gospel is what? The good news. The Gospel of John is not the good news. The Gospel of John is a literary apology for the divinity of Christ. This is where when you hear that Jesus is God, this is where they get it from. When you have total people being massacred because they don't believe in Jesus, this is where they get it from. Because this author decided that he needed to convince the people at the time that Jesus was in fact God. Folks, I'm telling you, my personal belief and the mistake that the church has made over centuries, and yes, I'm arrogant enough to say that, Jesus isn't God in the sense that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus has God's mind. Jesus was sent by God to show us what we could have in a relationship with God. But it's not the end-all and be-all. And so the things that we have in this gospel sometimes, we have to look at with kind of a cocked eyebrow. And for those of you who don't think that I'm on the right track here, go read John for yourself and come back and tell me, when did Jesus clean out the temple? Anybody want to take a guess?
When he first got to Jerusalem.
Right. But when was that?
On the beginning of Passover.
Right. When was that? At the beginning or the end of Jesus' ministry? According to John, it happens in the third chapter. The point being is if you're trying to make a point, if you're trying to argue your point of view, then you are going to change things around. You are going to tell stories that make your point. You are going to pull from resources of that day. What has happened in the Gospel of John is that John was trying to make this incredible connection between God and Jesus. In John's mind, the Messiah had to be God. God incarnate, walking the earth. Okay? And there's lots of theology that we can get into that. But if that's where you go with this, then you're never going to understand this passage in a way that is freeing to you. Somebody will always be able to own your emotions. Amen? Because somebody's always going to be able to quote this passage to you and say, well, you don't believe in Jesus the way you're supposed to. You didn't take Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't you know that God so loved the world that Jesus came to die for your sins? I'm telling you, folks, yes, and I'm saying this, I'm knowing full well that this is going to go out into the world. That is crock. And it's because the vicar caught the next verse that we know that it's crock. God sent Jesus, and Jesus said yes, to give us the handbook to get through life. Doesn't mean you're bad if you don't choose the handbook. It means you might have a rougher time, amen? You understand how that goes? Stay out of the fire, it'll hurt you. And people walk right into the fire anyway. By the way, I wouldn't take that loan at 33 1/3% interest. And you know, there's people out there who look at you and go, you can't tell me what to do. And they go take the loan. By the way, Adam, Eve, you can have anything in this garden you want, anything. Just don't eat that apple. How come, God? What don't you want us to know? What secret is it? Is it any, and you don't think that that isn't the way we think? God love him, Supreme Court Justice Scalia isn't even cold in his grave yet, and they're already talking about how to replace him. The magic question has already been asked. Who's the president going to appoint? What apple is the president going to give us? Folks, we have curiosity that can get us into trouble. God knows what God's creation's all about. And knows that there are going to be times, because we want to be God, that we're going to make mistakes. So here I'm giving you Jesus. I am giving you a handbook on how to get through this life. Now, you know, that's not about judgment, is it? If I give you a handbook and say, here, this is how you get it done. You work for a company that has an employee's manual, do you not? You work for a company that has an employee's manual, do you not? You don't know. They do. They have one. And the bottom line is, if you want to know how to take vacation, where do you go? The employee manual. If you want to know how they can discipline you, where do you go? The employee manual. Do you want to know what God expects from you? Where do you go? The employee manual. Amen? And what does the employee manual tell us? How to behave. Oh yeah. Be fair. Be merciful. Walk humbly with God. There's no judgment in that. All right. So then, the second part of the roof, if that isn't enough for you, is this. Don't let anything that I've just said throw you. You trust God, don't you? Then trust Jesus. There's plenty of room for you in my Creator's home. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I am on my way to get a room ready for you? I'll come back and get you so that you can live where I live. And you already know the road that I am taking. Folks, when you have a bad week, I hope you run to church. Because the roof that is going to be over your head is reminding you that God loves you unconditionally. And likewise, you will hear and you will experience that there has been a room that is prepared for you. It's all made up with all your favorite stuff. Alice will have country music in her room. Yeah? Pastor Paul will forever be able to live the 70s in disco. Amen? You know, whatever it is that takes you to be at peace. But see, the reason that this has to be our roof is because we live in a world right now, folks, where you are hearing every day that if we don't behave the way somebody wants us to behave, it is the end of the world. Amen? We ain't gonna let Obama appoint anybody. Because that'll change the United States. We ain't gonna go come up with a program where we put $1.5 million into feeding the hungry. Because all they need to do is go get a job. We're going to take the $1.5 million and we're going to put it in a bomb over here. Oh, did I say that with my outside voice? You see, none of this cuts any slack with me. You're being brainwashed to believe that the only answer in life is either believe in Jesus the way we tell you to believe in Jesus, or we're going to kill you. You don't think I am? There's 8 pieces of legislation sitting down at the state capitol right now that backs up what I'm saying. By the way, did you also know that our Congress, being the good Christians that they are, have blocked money going to Flint, where people are being poisoned on a daily basis? Now, you all can sit there and go, oh, Pastor, you're being political. No, did you hear this? Jesus is the handbook. And what does Jesus tell us? I was hungry. You fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And we're going to talk, Alice, you're talking about that towards the end of the month. But do you understand that's what the roof is setting on? But we only get to those pillars, folks, if you understand 2 very basic things. 1, you are a child of God. 2, nobody can take that from you. Nobody. And by the way, it is not the job of the church to tell you that you don't belong to God. It is the job of the church to carry you into the arms of God. God bless you.